Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Nobody Panic, a podcast where we help sort of figure out how to do things. Tessa, hello.
Hello. How's it going?
You know what?
Fine.
Good.
You look very nice.
So do you.
Thanks, pal.
Both of us look pretty good today.
All things considered.
All things considered.
It's trying our best.
I'm quite sweaty. That is one thing.
I was on time. That's something.
I'd say you were early.
I was by 5 minutes, and that is quite... Thank you so much.
That was great. I'm really happy
yeah,
for you.
The last time I was early, Paul Rudd was in the studio.
Yes, and I was late. And
you missed Paul Rudd.
The worst day of my life.
Because I did talk to Paul Rudd.
Yes.
And I embarrassed myself so badly, I had to go and lie down. And just to clarify, he was here for off menu and not for us. So then I feel sort of like, well, don't be early because Paul Rudd might be there. But
Understood.
I'm powering through that.
I think that's a thing you can think in life, just anywhere you go.
Yeah. Don't be early, Paul Rudd might be there. And you might embarrass yourself so hard, you'll have to go and lie down.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. So today,
tell us about this podcast episode.
Yes, the seeds were sown for this episode when we did back in autumn, how to be an autumn botch. Mm-hmm. That kind of feeling of like, no, I like autumn, and everybody seems to take the piss out of people that like it. And it's very like, you know, Taylor Swift, basic bitch vibe. And I see a lot of people, for example, actually, Taylor Swift's a good example, who really like Taylor Swift, but sort of have to apologise for it a lot.
Mm.
And then a lot of people who you wouldn't expect to like Taylor Swift being like saying it ironically and knowing it's cool because you wouldn't expect them to. And it made me think like, yeah, just how... I expanded that to my life and being like, it's actually becoming increasingly hard to tell what I like and want and what I'm kind of being conditioned to think is good or not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think obviously social media doesn't help with that. And I think that's why it's becoming quite, I think more people don't know what they want and don't even realize they don't know until maybe it's too late or they have to do something like, I've been doing like organize a wedding party for my, like, you know, and go like, oh God, what do I actually want at that party?
Mm.
Or what am I doing for like the bit, you know,
that
like what's people arrive and be like, well, anything, you know, like when people arrive and you go like, oh, this would be like cool if this happens. Like, yeah, but do I want that? Is that just going to be like, or do I want to be sincere? Or what, like, what do
yeah,
I, how
yeah.
sincere am I as a person? Mm. I don't know. So there was a, it's not just about weddings, it's about like anything.
I think definitely weddings push those sort of feelings right to the fore because
yes.
that's the ultimate, like, this is me now. It's like a wedding is literally saying, do you want to come and look in my head?
Yeah.
Do you want to come in and see all the things I think are the best?
Yes, yes.
And so it's a lot to be like, people be like, oh, Stevie thinks this is the best, is it? You
yeah,
know?
So that's what she wants to look like and that's what she wants to do, yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of being like, wait, what do I want and what do my parents want and what does my partner want and what do I think the guests want or what do I actually want?
Yeah, quietly.
Very powerful, Stevie.
Before we get into it, shall we do, which is a running theme, each week we ask what the other's adult thing is to make us feel better about our lives.
I have a notes app called Nobody Panic and I love to open it and think, what are the adult things? And then see what I've written to myself.
That's so great.
The past couple of weeks of little treats. And this one I was very excited to write down. It involves the printer.
Okay, wow.
Now, normally I have a quite positive working relationship with my printer.
That's very rare.
It is rare. It is rare. And we've worked very hard on it. And I'm also involved with
HSBC.
I'm heavily involved with HSBC. Unrelated. I'm also involved with HP Instant Ink. And they send me the bits, the cartridges.
Great.
Why not?
Sorry, are you telling me that you buy cartridges for your printer?
No, I'm involved in some kind of thing.
Is it a subscription?
Yeah.
Right.
Involved in some kind of thing.
Like you've gone to a shop and bought some cartridges.
No, they come in the post.
That's great. That is cool. I didn't know
you'd
do
that. And they take my money.
So you use your printer enough to necessitate a subscription?
No.
Right.
Definitely
so you've got
not.
Be backed up with like a million printer cartridges.
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
So I've got like one, I pay £1 a month or something.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's such good value.
Well, that's why I thought it was quite a good deal. But now I'm like, am I getting the right use out of this?
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, even though I know there are so many printer cartridges in the house somewhere, couldn't find one. Things, and I'm like, this is a nightmare because it's printing, it's coming out all faded. I have to print all these documents and you can't read them.
Right.
And I was like, where the hell are the printer cartridges? Because I know I've got them and be damned me going to buy some more when I'm involved in this bloody subscription and have been for months. Anyway, couldn't find them anywhere. Had to contact HP Instant Ink for help and was like, I don't know what to do. It's doing this.
Can
and also,
you find my cartridges in my house?
My help, please. What shall I do now? And then the man on the chat said, and this is what I tell to you, Stevie, and to you, the listeners, should you ever find yourself in such a situation, remove the, because you've got a colour cartridge and a black cartridge in there. He said, remove the black ink cartridge and then print in black and white, and the colour one will correct itself and will print, will combine its colours to do the black and white for you.
Almost begs the question, what's the point of a black cartridge?
Almost begs it, Stevie. Almost begs.
That's fascinating.
Well, to be fair, it is the darkest, darkest, darkest shade of magenta.
Okay.
If you truly look.
Right,
but to
I
the
see.
Naked eye, you wouldn't question it. That's but if you really look, it is a very, it's not true black.
Right.
So I guess if you really needed it to be, you know.
Spot on.
Yeah.
For your art.
For your art.
For your art.
For your art. But for your basic documents.
The only thing I can think of that you would print that you'd need black
I was thinking,
art?
Yeah, your graphic design work.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then you're not messing about with your magenta
cartridge. Why are you printing out at home?
Have some self-respect, mate. Anyway, it felt absolutely fantastic. It worked. And now I was just excited to relay that top tip if anyone finds themselves in such a situation.
Such a good hack. My other thing is I'm doing my theory test on Friday.
Oh, it's Friday.
Yes. And a surprise, it was a surprise to me, but I think it's a surprise to nobody, and it shouldn't have been a surprise, is that the multiple choice, learning the facts, and then doing the test, like the mock tests, smashing it. Has a perception, absolute disaster.
Yeah.
But weirdly, turns out that I keep failing it because I see, so the, it's like a video, for anyone who hasn't done it, it's like quite a well-rendered video, I presume AI, where like you're going through something and you have to click when you see, there's lots of different sort of cars moving and things that could become hazards, but you have to click when you see the hazard develop. And so like, for example, you're going on like, I don't know, a road, and like right in the distance, you see like a tractor on another road. So like, obviously clicking it, being like, well, that tractor, why would they put a tractor in this video if it's not going to become a hazard? And then lo and behold, it does, but I've clicked too early because it wasn't a hazard at that
point. Unacceptable clicking pattern.
Yes. Mm. And so it turns out actually, yeah, I'm too perceptive of the hazards.
I think it's a very, very flawed test as somebody who also failed their hazard perception.
Right. Good.
Right.
Because,
it's so, because you're like, well, that's a hazard.
Yeah, obviously.
Click hazard.
There's like a horse coming up in the road. And so I click, and then they're like, you got 0 out of 5 because the horse didn't become a problem till like 5 seconds later. And you're like, but I'm doing a hazard perception test. Why would you put a horse in it if it wasn't going to become a hazard? I'm overthinking it. Yeah, I'm quite concerned about that. But I am thrilled that my, because I used to be quite like academic at school, like good at exams and all that sort of stuff. I was so scared about doing the theory prep because I was like, what if I find out that I'm no longer good at that? My brain is broken because of, I don't know, social media usage. But it turns out I can remember
turns
facts
out I'm absolutely
very
fucking
well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very good at that bit. But that, I'm so bad at hazard perception that I think that's going to fuck me over.
Listen, you join a stalwart group. Of people who
can't perceive hazards.
Who simply can't perceive the hazards. No, who failed their hazard perception the first time.
Okay, good.
It should you fail. So just take that sweet pressure off. Anyway, I wish you so much good luck.
Thank you.
What do you want?
To to pass my theory test.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
But also, that is part of it. Because I, for years, have been like, I don't want to learn to drive. It's bad for the environment. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want it. And also, I actually realised that me not wanting to learn to drive was because I didn't want to find out I was bad at it. Because I couldn't. I was like, I can't. I won't be able to cope. But so that led me to the fundamental issue with knowing what you want, which is not realizing that you don't know what you want and feeling stupid for that. Because actually, I think our brains are so complex that you often don't know what you want. And that's, I think, the standard for everybody. Mm. And you have to kind of interrogate yourself constantly. And that's exhausting. So, you know, like the people that when we're at uni and throughout our 20s and sometimes like, God, you know, Ed, I've made someone up, but like, you know, Ed, he did English Lit with me and now he's done a law conversion because he wants to be a lawyer and now he's got a flat and now he's got a family. He really knows what he wants. Like, and then now at like 35, Ed's gone mad because he's like, I don't know if that was what I wanted. And then like doesn't know what he's doing, is having a midlife crisis, for example. Mm. That happens quite a lot where you get to a certain age and you go, gosh, have I done the wrong thing here? Or like, I've dropped the ball because I didn't realise that I wanted these big life things. And I think there's a tendency, I don't think that's the right approach for Ed, because actually all that's happened is he did want that at some point and now he wants something different. And we're constantly changing what we want and then punishing ourselves for it and being like, oh God, I didn't know. Or like, what's wrong with me? Mm. When actually you basically need to check in regularly. And it can change throughout the year. It can change because you've like spoken to a friend who's like doing a job that you've never heard of and gone like, you know what? Actually, maybe I would like to do that as a career. Well, if only I'd known that. Or like, I'm stuck in this or whatever. And that plus the our inherent fear of change means that, yeah, we should never be mean to ourselves for not knowing what we want. So if you're listening and you're like, I'm listening because I just don't know and I'm such an idiot. It's like, you're not an idiot. You're actually, that's what it means to be human, to not know what you want. Otherwise, we'd all be like, we'd all just be completely content at all times. And famously, we're not ever.
Famously.
Famously.
I hear you.
Mm, do you?
I hear it. And to speak on that.
I would love you to speak on that.
I remember picking our GCSEs in Year 9.
Hell.
And I went home and cried because Emily Reynolds, full name. Yeah. Hello, Emily. Hope you're well.
Hope you're well, Nolds.
And that is what we used to say.
You're about to say something probably quite like, I can't stop myself for these absolute golden gags.
Emily knew she wanted to be a doctor, which meant these were the GCSEs she needed to do. These were the A-levels she needed to do. This is where she wanted to go to do a degree. This is where she wanted to go to medical school. Da, 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 da. And I cried with jealousy that she had a plan.
Oh my God, yeah.
There was something so nice about knowing this was your end goal. And then if we wanted to get it, all the small decisions that you're going to be faced with through your life, small as in like the incremental decisions, were going to be towards this end goal. And I was so jealous of that because I just felt completely overwhelmed with the choice. And I do remember everyone having a bit of a meltdown about it.
You're 13.
Yeah. I remember there was a girl, we used to ride, I lived very far away from school and there was a bus, Luxy Cars. That, as I'm saying it out loud, that can't be right.
Can't be the name of your school bus, Luxy Cars.
So weird to say it. It was like blue and white and it was like a really battered minivan. And I guess like to sort of zhuzh it up, they'd called it Luxy Cars.
Nice.
You know when you've not said a word out loud for so long, but it was such a big part of your life for many years. Anyway, we used to ride this bus home for an hour each way. And so we were very weirdly, intimately good friends with people from year 7 to year 13 on this bus.
Not weird. I mean, you've got 2 hours every day.
Weird. But like, it was weird that like you would go to school, you wouldn't dream of speaking to them.
Of course,
but then you'd get on. And I remember in year 7, helping this girl who was at the time in year 10 or year 9 choose her GCSEs, and I remember like helping her and like crossing off things we couldn't, definitely let's remove those and let's do this, and like helping
that's
her.
That's very good of you.
It really was massive.
You were 11 at this point.
11, mad thing for me to have done.
Very good.
And her being like, that's actually incredibly helpful. And then the like next day in break, them coming like huge girls coming to like find me in year 7 and be like, you get in the corridor, we've heard you're very good at helping with the choosing process, and me being like, okay, yeah, it's this and then you do this, and then when actually it got to our year, I remember being like, this is so hard.
There was no you in year seven.
There was no me.
Helping you to...
There was no me to help me.
You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. And it's such a... It feels like it's the first time ever in your life that you're being made to choose something and as a result, doors are going to close, you know?
Yeah.
It's
like, or you... The perception that doors are going to close.
Wow. Speak on that.
Yeah, I will. But I think it teachers can't tell you the reality, because if they told you the reality, then the entire foundation of the education system would collapse, which is like, if they were like, it doesn't matter what you pick because you can change in the future because you've got your whole life, including, you know, you could do the complete, you could do all sciences and then like be like, I want to do English at uni, and then like rectify that very simply. But like, if they tell you that, then you start being like, well, what's the point of anything?
Yeah.
Everything about school is sort of, when as the older you get, the more you realise it's quite counterproductive to living and at the actual reality of life. In some senses, it is helpful, but in quite a cynical way, because it's like, with work and employment in life, those odd rules and unfair systems are still in place. So I suppose school does help you to realise that, like, I don't know, life is sort of mad, and sometimes you just have to go along with stuff that you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this interview process for the job? That's not going to, you can't tell if I'm actually going to be good at this job, or like, it's kind of like life is unfair, really, basically. But like, yeah.
I think it's the thing to speak on the hazard perception.
Speak on it.
Speak on that. Mm. Is that like, that's the best that they've come up with under difficult circumstances.
Yes.
That is a safe way of trying to test you on something that is sort of untestable. And it like, it is mad, but it's also currently the best we've got. And so you've got to go into it both being like, this seems odd, and everyone like, it is, but it's always, this is what you have to do in order to be allowed into the car, so do it.
Yeah, there has to be something that tests you. And people did say that, but you don't listen. People have said that my whole life, and I didn't listen. Like, when I decided on my degree, I didn't. I was like, well, I've committed now, and unless I do a law conversion, like, English literature was like a joke while I was doing it. Like, haha, you're never going to get employed. And it was like, oh. And then, like, when I was a journalist, it was like, you know, like, I've picked journalism over acting and writing and performing. Like, that, I've picked it. And I remember being, like, very, like, somber, like, this is the way. Like, I must earn. And then, of course, that industry collapsed. And I was like, the way is gone. And it just so happens I'm doing this in my spare time, so I've got to make this work now. But then it was only now that I'm like, I could retrain and do something, but I don't want to. So that's kind of, like, quite not. I mean, also, I'd probably be bad at it. But, like,
hey.
I could change my career at any point. I'd be bad because I wouldn't like it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's a different thing. That's a different thing.
And I do only realise that now. But also, yeah, it's quite freeing to be like, to have realised that you're not like, it wasn't our fault constantly not knowing what we wanted and being panicked about those choices. Then there's a different pressure, which is like, that fear of change, I think, has kicked in for me a little bit, where it's like, I know people who, well, my sister who's like moved to another country, and she kind of, I was really jealous of that in the sense of like, God, you know that you wanted to leave London and you're not chained to it because you feel scared of what would happen. You're just going to do that, are you? Okay, wow. I wish I could have that experience, but like, of course I can. But like, I don't know if I want it or not. And so I'm like, I'm constantly in this state of flux. And recently I've found it helpful to, rather than address all of those big things, which is like, you know, baby, house, where I live, what clothes I'm wearing. No, those three big things, which are all kind of looming for a lot of people who haven't made that decision yet, or those decisions yet. I found that by looking at those, I've realised that even small things, I didn't know what I wanted to. Starting with the small things, which gives me confidence to then build up to trust myself to go like, both could be wrong, but equally both will also be right, because you will make your life around that decision that you took. There actually is no wrong decision. So like, if I live in London for the rest of my life, well, I'll make that work. If I move out of London and live somewhere where I feel like I'm kind of alone with like without any friends, like, well, I'll make that work as well. Like, you know, so, and I think it's so much of it comes down to confidence in yourself. And I found it really helpful with little things, and also quite scary, because when I was like, okay, I'll start with like little things, it's like, I don't actually know what, like, anything. Like, I don't know how, like, with the autumn thing, it came from that, where I was like, I love autumn and I love like Halloween. I was like embarrassed to like lean into it and sort of embarrassed to be that kind of like typical, you know, white girl who's like, I love men's spice latte. And I was like, no, I'm actually going to go mad.
Yeah.
And it's such a small thing, but it helps. But I did find, like you just said, ticking off things that you don't want to be like the first helpful step. And also like really leaning in and not being scared of visualizing the options. So a big example is me with like where I want to live and a house, because I rent, and like I'm so scared of dreaming of a flat that I want, because what if I can't afford it, I can't get it. So what I've done is like I've got a phone note of like dream house ideas, and being like not afraid to actually vocalize that to myself, because obviously it's really simple, but like I could get a flat that doesn't have any of those things, and then that could be like an end goal, but maybe I get like three of those things, or like maybe I'm able to. It's always good to have an aim, but I'm so often scared of dreaming of those big things in case I'm disappointed.
What is the worry about the disappointment? Like that you would rather not dream of any nice things lest.
Well, that's quite extreme, but sort of, I'd rather be realistic. The fear of what I would prefer to do is have a realistic goal, mm-hmm. so that then I can actually achieve that. Whereas, you know, being like, I want a garden and I also want a lovely balcony and a kind of underfloor heating for the tortoise. And I want it to be massive and also in central London. It's obviously not a realistic goal. Mm-hmm. So I can never achieve that. So I don't want to just like be needlessly disappointed.
But wouldn't you say that like, so here's the realistic thing that's like, this is what is achievable regardless. Mm-hmm. And here are the dreams. And so if you dream that this, like, then you just enjoy this sort of this dreaming process, but you have to end up here anyway. So you might as well dream about
absolutely.
A nicer thing.
And that's where I'm trying to get my
but
head.
But you fear this drop down is worse, you think, than just going up to it and never.
Well, no, that's why I'm trying to change my. I've got the phone notes.
Wow.
With things like underfloor heating for the tortoise and things like that. And I have, but I'm too scared to put a region, because I'm like, obviously, like, you know, central.
Well, put it in right now.
But I'm not, yeah, no, sure. But I also.
Yeah, but sure.
Sure. But I also, I've done it. I'm too scared to like research areas, because I'm like, what if I don't find anywhere? And then I'll be like, oh no, there's nowhere to live. I'm going very specific here.
No, but I think it's really interesting and important. And like, I guess it's all the sort of high risk, high yield of being like, 100%. I'm not even prepared to chance it in case it doesn't happen. But like, but it's definitely not going to happen if you don't.
Absolutely.
If you don't look. And so you currently think you won't be able to. You look, that feeling is confirmed. Mm. And it's like, is that a worse feeling than guessing the feeling would be that? Like,
so yeah, so when the balance tips over, then that's where the phone notes comes in handy. You're like, right, I've got to lean in, because the annoyance of being like, I don't know what I want anymore, because I'm not allowing myself to really engage in what I want. Obviously, it's a really like self-aware way of trying to figure out what you want. But I do think the more common thing is sort of doing things because you think you should want them. So the wedding and marriage and all of that stuff, that was a good example, I think, of personally spending my entire 20s being like, yeah, marriage is a stupid institution, and I'm never doing that. And then being like, I'd quite like to. I've got one life. And then all of the elements of how we did it and how we're doing it being exactly what we want, and not even considering other people to the extent where, oddly, it means that what we want is to consider other people. So it would genuinely make me unhappy. I love going to weddings. The moment is very, very clear. But it would make, I wouldn't be able to cope with telling people for example, go somewhere else, mm-hmm. and spend money on travel. I'd spend the whole wedding being like, I'm so sorry. And like, no one wants to see that. So it was actually like counterproductive and more useful for me to like have a chill party in like Soho so that everybody, I don't have to be sweaty when people arrive.
Absolutely.
And because no one wants a sweaty woman at the wedding.
No sweaty brides.
Clearly.
I think we should run a wedding planning company called No Sweaty Brides.
No Sweaty Brides, yeah. NSB.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think, like you say, the wedding thing puts everything in quite harsh, really, because it's like it comes down to what do you want? Make decisions and like make financial decisions, pick things. And that is hard. And so I kind of used that as an experiment, really, to be like, okay, I'm quite bad at knowing what I want. I change my mind. And also, I think I want something. And then it actually turns out I want this secretly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tips in this episode at all at this point. But I think one big tip is pick something and as an experiment, be like, I'm going to do exactly what I want. And you realize that your brain kind of works in like a different way. And then you can kind of extrapolate that out to other bigger things. And you might be quite surprised by what you learn about yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think you speak to a very human and universal experience of the, like, I would rather not check these things or try for these dreams or be real, say the truth about my dreams, lest they don't work. And I know what I bring off, Chekhov and or Tolstoy constantly.
You do bring off Chekhov.
But did I say bring off?
Yeah. It sure sounds like you're wanking
bring
him off.
He's get him off the stage. In the cherry orchard and or Uncle Vanya.
Could be.
By Tolstoy and or Chekhov. There is a character. So like the broad stroke.
Played by Andrew Scott or not.
Or not. Or me. Whoever. Andrew Scott or not. Listen, the macro, no idea. But the micro, very clear. The young dowdy girl is in love with, I don't think she's that young. I think she's approaching 30. Am I right?
My God, ancient hag.
Hag. In love with the doctor.
Sure. Emily Reynolds.
Emily Reynolds. Of course. No, in love with the doctor. Mm-hmm. And then this sort of hot older woman comes to town and she's like, you're in love with the doctor? And she's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yes, you are. Just fucking ask him if he's in love with you. And she says, in Russian.
Of course.
Something to the tune of, I can't. I would rather... I cannot bear the reality. It's easier to live here, dreaming and hoping and living in my reality, even though I know he doesn't love me, but never knowing for sure, than it is to be on the other side, knowing for certain it's a no. And even if the risk, even if there's a tiny chance that he might also love me, I cannot take the risk of, this is a safer place to be. And I think so many people live there.
Yeah.
You know, they in marriages that aren't serving them anymore, in jobs that aren't serving them, in all of those sort of things, it's safer here. You know, people who are like, oh, I can't be single, you know, I can't bear it out there.
Mm.
Even though there's a chance that there's an amazing, great love or all these incredible things you experience on your own, better to stay here in this like bad but safe space. Yes. So I think everybody stays there. I think I'm on the polar opposite.
You know what you want too much.
I know what I want too much and too hard. No, I just don't feel anything. There's nothing in there. I think part of the crying about the doctor thing, and then I cried several years ago at a party, ran into a friend who was maybe 6 months pregnant, and I did not know. And she obviously was taking it in her stride because she'd had 6 months to be ready for those things. And so she was just like, yeah. Whereas it was my first, I was like, oh. And I was like, why aren't you more shocked? And she's like, well, I've been pregnant for 6 months, so, you know, not a surprise anymore. And then I cried on the way home, and my housemate had to be like, should we unpack while you're crying? And he's like, is it because you want a baby or you don't want a baby? And like, it's the same thing about crying when I was 14, about being like, I was so jealous that somebody was confident with what they wanted to do with their life.
Right, because yes. There's so many options for you.
There's so many options, and It's not that I have any secret dreams and I don't say them. I actually, there's just nothing in there. You know,
no, I would argue too much. So all of the options feel like, well, that's an option, that's an option, that's an option. Like, yeah. So, rather than there's nothing in there and you're like, I don't want to do anything.
Oh, sorry.
You want to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But also I think I am just like, you know, if people are like, what do you want? I'm like, snack and
fun times
and could go on holiday. Yeah. You know, whereas I've never had a like, when people are like, I want to be a doctor, I want to win an Oscar, I want to do this. Like, I'm just always like, it's nice, could be.
Yeah.
you know, and so I've struggled very much with that. And I think also the very nature of like storytelling and therefore all the films and books and everything that we consume, the nature of a character is that they have to want something.
If they have one true goal.
They have to have a true goal. Because if you ever watch a film where the character doesn't really want anything, you're like, what the hell is this?
Boring.
I've watched this for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, story is completely opposite to real life in that story has to, we have to propel forward, we have to want something, and ideally we have to want something and on the way there find out that we needed something quite different.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. For this to be like, for us, our little human minds to enjoy a story, like these are all the steps, and that's so polar opposite to what life is.
That's probably why we enjoy and need stories, because we feel so scattershot.
Yes.
That actually we that pattern of just, we just like, oh God, that, like, also as well, I read about how like with story, we're often like, when you enjoy a story, it's often because on a subconscious level, you're trying to work out how better to live yourself.
Mm.
So even if that's got, you've got nothing to do with it, that makes sense of like, you're just being like, what's the secret to just having, like, what does it feel like to have one aim? Like,
how does that feel to be so driven? It's why I sometimes think like, God, revenge sounds good. Like people being like, one, you know,
in that May Martin joke of like, I really want to be able to avenge my dead father. Like, yeah,
I did.
Really
know
jealous
that.
Of Harry Potter. It was ages ago with one of their first stand up shows. Being like, I'm really jealous of Harry Potter with his dead parents. Like, because I want to just have one goal.
Yeah, oh, that's like, so funny. See, it's so human. We want this one pure goal. We want to, you know, Inigo Montoya, Princess Bride, you killed my father, prepare to die. You know, we're like, and then at the end, he's like, I have been in the revenge business so long, I don't want to do with myself. You know,
yeah.
We want to wake up every day and be like, I have to kill the Baron. You know,
yeah.
Please,
actually, that would probably be quite dull if you only had one aim, and like that would, you'd live a very, I don't know, a very singular, blinkered existence.
And yet, but that's the thing. Maybe we crave this singular, blinkered, free existence where it's like, today I kill the Baron.
Because we are so blinky in our lives.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, that's why all the good, you know, we need a quest, we need a thing, we feel better when we're like, okay, this is what I'm doing today.
You love a quest.
I love a quest. You know, just like take all this away and it's like, zoom, 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 just like focus down. It's why I'm reading a lot about like ADHD and how we're quite good in a crisis. It's because it's the only time where it's like, quest.
Quest.
I'm so excited about crisis.
You're like chicken.
Oh, there's one coming. Just like, it all goes away.
Yeah.
It's like, we're doing this. Yeah. Just being like, I have to get this ring in that volcano. Perfect. Come on, let's go. Maybe a couple of little japes along the way, but ultimately, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a relatable example.
You know, it's like, we're like, great, that seems nice.
Yeah, like Frodo's crying the whole time. It's like so stressful.
Well, that's
like,
the thing, we wouldn't actually enjoy doing it. I guess we just crave it because we're so overwhelmed.
Yes.
And we're also overwhelmed by all those things as well. The person, often it's simply thrust upon them, like,
yes,
they, you know, somebody does this to their father and off they go, or someone arrives and is like, you're the ring bearer, you know, you're this, you're
and
that.
And arguably with that example, like, they don't actually, that's not really what they want.
No, it's something they have to do,
which is maybe slightly different. The aim isn't try to figure out your one true goal. And I think that's how we see it, because stories are like that. The aim is to be like, I don't have one true goal. I have many goals and many things. And the goal that I had when I was like a child, like my dream job or where I want to be, changes because you made that decision when you were six and you didn't know what the world was like. And so that you wouldn't go to a child now and be like, can you give me some life advice? You'd be like, they don't know what the fuck is talking about. So it's odd that we hold on to these things, even like 3 years ago, that change. And I think you'll have to, so basically our aim should be to constantly like check in with ourselves and learn how to check in with ourselves about what we want. And in doing that, realize it's a much more, if you give it the respect it deserves, it's a much more psychologically complex thing to do rather than going, I want this, fine. Interrogating it is really hard. Looking at your own sort of inability to admit what you want because you're frightened of it are frightened of it makes you kind of feel weak, but you're not weak. So that is something that you shouldn't be scared of. Like, look yourself in your own face, essentially.
Mm.
How to look yourself in your own face, that's what this should be called.
Something I return to quite often, and I encourage you all to...
Is it Chekhov / Tolstoy / Andrew Scott? In an
it's
interview.
Andrew Scott, yeah. No, it's Tim Minchin this time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I think I've told you it before. Yeah. He's doing an address at either his old university or simply our university. Mm. He's wearing a gown.
Okay.
Would you forgive me doing an impression of Tim Minchin?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Well, let's hear it first.
I think he does like 10 rules for life. And he says, number one, you don't have to have a dream. Americans on talent shows...
It's funny because the accent is like totally pointless. But like, I do appreciate it.
Doesn't it set the scene a bit? Tim Minchin? Number one, you don't have to... I'm only doing this one. You don't have to...
Nobody cares.
Right. Number one, you don't have to have a dream. Americans on talent shows always talk about their dreams. Fine. If you have something that you've always dreamed of in your heart, go for it. After all, it's something to do with your time. Chase a dream. Why not? And if it's a big enough one, it'll take you most of your life to achieve. So by the time you get to it and you're staring into the abyss of the meaningless of your achievement, you'll be almost dead, so it won't matter.
Wow.
I've never really had one of these big dreams, and so I advocate instead for the passionate dedication to the pursuit of short-term goals. Be micro-ambitious. Put your head down and work with pride on whatever is in front of you. You never know where you might end up. Just be aware that the next worthy pursuit will probably appear in your periphery while you're looking the other way, which is why you should be careful of long-term dreams. If you focus too far in front of you, you won't see the shiny thing out of the corner of your eye. Right? Good advice. Metaphor. Look at me go. That seems like it was a callback to an earlier work.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I really...
That's great.
The passionate dedication and pursuit of short-term goals.
Short-term goals. That's so good.
And then
good.
It's just like, okay, what do we want? What do I want to achieve?
What do I want now?
What do I want
like,
now?
What would I like to do this week?
Yeah.
What, how would I like to spend... Am I still happy in this? Would I like that? Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to end, because that is like basically everything we've been saying. I mean, to be honest, we could have just started the record, played that and then just stopped and
I go,
great,
but no, I think
that's
we're
excellent.
It's important to hear us talk about
it's so important.
It's important to hear
for the
from
listeners
us.
To hear
also,
us talk
I think
about.
You're I think it's exciting for us to be on your journey with you.
Thank you.
On the way to Mount Doom, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going there.
You're going there. I'll come with you.
I actually watched
Why not? Lord to do, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a quest, isn't it? I was actually rewatching Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring last night.
Wow.
And that's all I have to say about that.
And that's that.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye. And
good luck with your short-term goals. Short-term goals.
Yeah, have a short-term goal today and see if you can achieve it. Ask yourself, what do I actually want? Don't tell anyone. See if you can do it by the end of the day. Wow.
Great.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brands.